Oh, yeah.
And just play.
Rick, this just turned off. Oh, there it is. Okay, just a sec. Somehow it turned off. I don't know why, but I need to get it back
on.
on. No, it's on now. No, it's on now.
Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Woohoo.
Been waiting all year to say that.
Yep.
Good to have you this morning. We've got some wonderful things in store for you, and good to have Micah visiting with us this morning. This is John and Joni's grandson, and glad to have you visiting. He's in the Air Force, so grateful to have you come. Grateful for all our visitors. Kai and Polly, good to have you. We're not going to introduce you as visitors. You're just part of us now, and so glad you could be here. Isaac, good to have you back from school visiting with us. And so, anyway, good to have all of you. A few announcements I'd like to bring to your attention. Next Sunday, of course, is Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. Today is Christmas Eve. Next Sunday's New Year's Eve, and there's going to be a New Year's Eve celebration here at the church beginning at 4 o'clock. We'll go to 7. We're going to have a break in there sometime for prayer. And so I want you to come if you can. We're going to have a great time. Sandra's in charge of that. She's sitting behind the computers back there in the sound booth, and she's asking you to sign up in the back. And so there's a sign up place for that. And so if you're able to come, then let her know that. And if you don't get to sign up, just call her later and let her know. Okay. January the 7th is a Vision Casting Ministry Opportunity Mission Fair. We've never had that before. So what's going to happen is that different people in their community and even in our convention is going to be sharing with you how ways in which you can get involved in ministry in our area, as well as in our convention. We have, in our Northwest Baptist Convention, we have two groups. One regarding disaster relief. One is in working in one team. I'm trying to slow down. Mississippi, don't talk fast. So, slow down. There's a team in Guam right now working as disaster relief from our convention. There's also one in Hawaii working over there with the flooding and those things that took place and the fire that took place there. And so that's just some one of the opportunities, and you will be there, more will be given to you regarding that kind of thing. But so what will happen, we'll have like 6 or 8 people give 3 or 5 minute demonstration of what they're doing, and then there's going to be places in throughout the church where if you want to volunteer, you can go talk to them more and sign up with them. And that's on January the 7th. Our Christmas offering goal is $1,000, and this will go to our missionaries. So if you haven't given and want to give, then I would encourage you to do that. Christmas food pantry donations. Next week as well. And I've got Christmas on my mind. So good to have you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will praise the Lord in worship. Father, we come before you today, and we just want to give you thanks for all that you've done for us and all the opportunities you give us. Thank you for ministering to us. Lord, thank you for this glorious day and the celebration that we have of your birth. Lord, I pray that you would be with us now. Minister to us. Lord, as we minister to you with our praises, you be blessed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Receive her King. Let every
nature sing, and heaven, heaven, nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound, far as the curse is bound. He rules the world.
Guys sound so awesome.
Emmanuel.
God with us.
God with us, revealed in us, His name is God,
Daughter, I know I haven't written in a while, but the neighbor's little girl brought us a loaf of bread this morning, and it reminded me of something. Do you remember that day you decided to help your mother make dinner? You couldn't have been more than five. Your mother was next door visiting the neighbors when you decided that it was dinner time. It's a wonder you didn't burn down the house baking that bread. I got home just in time to see you covered in flour, but pulling a perfectly baked loaf of bread out of the oven. That wouldn't be the last time you astounded your dear
Papa. Your grandson is taking a nap, and my better half is at the shop. He always seems to be at the shops, since his skills are in such high demand. But I thought I would take a moment to write. I think of you every day about this time. It's when you always came home for lunch. I remember running at you full tilt when you came through the door calling out, "Where's my little girl?"
My little girl is quite a good cook, I would tell people. I was always so eager to talk about you, to brag on how smart and hardworking you were. We used to be so close. You were Daddy's little girl for so long. That's why I don't understand how you could let this happen. When I looked towards your future, I had such
high
hopes.
When the messenger came with a letter from home. But no, still just Mama's name at the end. I've kept every letter you two have ever written me. I wish you would write more and not make Mama do all of that, but I guess that's part of what happens when your father is convinced that you've disgraced our family name.
Our family name has taken quite a hit by what I now think of as your situation. I can barely show my face at the synagogue. I think it would be better if you at least admitted you'd done something wrong. And that husband of yours, I refuse to call him my son-in-law, he had us fooled. Seemed like a man with potential, a future. But now he's fallen in line with your ridiculous story.
I can't imagine why you think I would have lied about this. Don't you think I know how ridiculous it sounds? Of course I do. But I don't blame you for having doubts. But to flat out accuse me of lying. I thought you respected me more than that. Of all the childish things I could have done, I never once lied to either you or Mother. I know Mama has her doubts as well, but at least she's doing as I asked and waiting it out.
Why can't you see things through my eyes? I've told your mother that this is the time for tough love. We can't let you get away with these outrageous stories, playing us for fools. If you want to live as an adult, we must hold you to adult standards and not accept this kind of foolishness.
That's what you called it. You looked right in my eyes and called it foolishness. That's
what bothers me most, I think, is that I think you're fooling yourself. When I looked into your eyes, I didn't see deception, fear, some confusion, something that resembled excitement, but no deception. Have you really convinced yourself that this is true?
I know it is. No matter who doubts me,
you gave birth to the Messiah? My daughter.
Me.
No. The Messiah would not have come in this way.
It was unexpected, but
it's nonsensical and blasphemous and ridiculous and unbelievable and terrifying.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angel gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Thank you.
glory of amazing love, the light of the world, given for us.
I'm frightened for you, my daughter, my Mary.
Papa, come visit and look in my eyes again. You have to know that I would not invent a story like this.
If it is true.
It is true, Papa.
If it is true, then nothing is as we have expected. Nothing is as we planned.
I can't explain it, Papa. I can't tell you how it will all work out, but
this changes everything.
It does, Papa. The God you have served so faithfully. All your life is doing a new thing, and you get a front row seat. I don't want you to miss it.
But if the Messiah is not a conqueror, if that is different, then I have this suspicion that this road will not be an easy one for you or your child.
I know that it won't be easy, Papa. But Joseph is beside me, and God is leading us.
Joseph, he really does believe you, doesn't he?
He does, Papa. He has an advantage, though. God sent an angel to him, too.
Is it too much to ask that you might not have done the same for me?
Papa?
Daughter.
Don't miss out. You've prayed all your life for a Messiah. You've taught me to expect the unexpected from the God of our fathers. You've instructed me in the faith of our fathers. All I'm asking is that you look to the heavens and ask God to give you the faith in this plan you weren't expecting. Trust me.
My daughter, the mother of the Messiah? Can it really be true?
Yes, Papa.
Yes, Mary.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria. Your heavenly song. Lord. Bethlehem it seems. Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee. Christ the Lord, the newborn King, singing Gloria.
Plenty of guests since the baby came, shepherds and some very wise men from far away even. I've had lots to ponder, and Joseph has been so wonderful. But Papa, I want you to see him, our little baby Jesus.
Jesus? You named the baby God Saves?
Yes, Papa. It's the name the angels gave us.
Jesus, my daughter's baby.
Yes, Papa.
Jesus, the Messiah?
Yes, Papa.
So, I suppose I must accept that after all the prayers and all these years...
Papa, we should be celebrating because God is with us. With all my love.
With all my love. And with newly opened eyes, your Papa.
Your devoted daughter.
Anna! Anna! Gather your things. We're going to see our grandson.
Joseph! You're home just in time. Mama and Papa are coming for a visit.
Divine, oh, night. to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is a brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease.
Oh.
Oh, God, thank you so much for giving us this day to rejoice in you coming to save us. We just praise your name, Lord. We thank you for this precious, precious, precious gift. And Father, we thank you for the message that you've given Pastor this morning, and I just pray that you give him the ability to give it to us exactly as you gave it. Open our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I never considered what the dad, Mary's dad, may have gone through. So Larry is in the hospital and in Seaside, and he's on video or the Zoom right now. So would everybody stand up and turn around and say, hello, Larry. Hello, Larry. Merry Christmas, Larry. Yeah, for sure. So the news, the story of Jesus would, of course, I'm sure have been unbelievable to Dad. Though there were prophecies pasted throughout Scripture of the Messiah, Jesus coming, of what it was going to be like, and as was depicted by Michael, most of the Israelites looked at him as a conquering hero, not as a humble servant, not of someone who was going to bring life and light into darkness. Someone who had said, I'm the mom of the Messiah, would be probably suspect. Kind of like you'd think they were kind of off their rocker or something. And even, you know, even with the scriptures saying that a virgin will have a child, even that is almost unbelievable. Except God can do anything. God can do anything. Every year we hear of the story of Jesus. Every year we hear or someone talks about it, tells about it. We read about it, and to me it never gets old. It never gets old. Today I want us to look at the announcement to the shepherds by the angels. I'm going to ask that you would stand with me as I read out of Luke chapter 2. I'll read verses 8 through 18. But our emphasis was going to be on verse 11 this morning. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Translated correctly, it would be they were fearfully fearful. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them in heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Would you grab hands? across the aisle with one another. I want you to pray for one another, that God would speak to you as well as to those with whom you hold hands with. Also, if there's special concern on your heart, squeeze the hand of the person beside you so they will know to deliver a tremendously special prayer for you today. And Father, we come before you today. Hear our prayers. Lord, you know where we are. Lord, sometimes in this season we get so wrapped up in the hustle and bustle and the running to and fro and ordering online and all of this stuff. When in reality, it's all about you. So, Lord, I pray that today our focus would be on you. Lord, not the meal plan for after church. Not Christmas dinner, not yes. I pray that they'd be on you. God, I pray that you'd help me to deliver this message the way I ought to. Lord, that our hearts would be receptive. And God, we would go away from here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would touch my heart today, as well as each one here. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Every child born to me is a miracle. I was able to be with my wife when our two children were born, and it was a miraculous experience. And every child coming into this planet, I mean, it's a miraculous thing. It's not, Jesus was miraculous in a lot of different ways, but every child that's given life, to me, is miraculous. I mean, only God can do that. Only God can do that. You know, when we have children, when people have children now, they post it on Facebook. They make birth announcements. They text everyone. They Zoom in and do whatever they can to let everybody know that they have been, that they've had a child. I mean, it's a glorious thing. It's a celebratory thing. It's something to celebrate. It's a marvelous thing. Our grandchildren, I mean, they're better than our children. It's a marvelous thing, and we want everyone to know it. I'm going to take that back. My children were great too. But it's a marvelous thing. We want everyone to know it. And we want to be the one to tell. Now, I'm imagining, but the scripture says that there was an angel that's appointed, selected, to go and tell the shepherds in the field that there was a newborn baby in Bethlehem. And I imagine there was a lot of angels saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. I want to tell, I want to tell, I want to be the one. If that had been me, pick me, yeah? So there was one that was selected, and he came and began to cry out to those shepherds, there's a baby born in Bethlehem. Behold, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a child who is Christ the King. It blew those shepherds away. And then scripture says that a host of angels joined him and began shouting. And I'm sure it was a shout. It wasn't glory to God in the highest. It was shouting. It was singing. It was celebratory. I believe they were dancing, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to men. Talking about Jesus. They had been They knew scriptures. They had been waiting for this day, this long expected day, just as long as the Israelites have, or even longer. And they knew that there was going to be a day. They probably didn't know when. They knew there was going to be a day when Jesus would come to this earth, and they wanted to be part of that celebration. We get to be part of that celebration today. I am just in awe of everything that God did during this season. This passage of Scripture says that in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This prophecy of Jesus' coming was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus ever showed up. And people wonder, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. But when Jesus came, then the fulfillment of the prophecy was understood. The children of Israel were waiting hundreds of years for this child to be delivered. So who was this child? In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, he says that he is the Christ. A lot of times we say Jesus Christ. Well, Christ is not Jesus' last name. A lot of times we think it is, but it's not. It's actually his title. It's who he is. Christ in the Greek is Kyrios, and actually it's a translation from the Hebrew Messiah. So Christ means Messiah. So whenever he's talking to the Greeks here, to the Greek-speaking Jews, he's saying, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. That's what the angels proclaim. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who fulfilled the prophets. He's the anointed one. He's the one who's going to show God on earth. He's come to live with us. Amazing, amazing. This messianic proclamation to these shepherds. Christ is the anointed one. It's no wonder the angels were ecstatic about his coming. They also called him Lord. The Greek word for that is Kyrios, which means supreme authority, Lord, and God. That's what it means. A lot of times people don't look at Jesus as God, but he is God. And he came in the flesh. And he came in the flesh for a purpose. And it was God's plan from the very beginning until even today that there's this plan to be fulfilled in each one of our lives and each one of our hearts. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. He also calls him Savior. The angels called him Savior. I was visiting with a fellow on last Friday night. And he was talking to me about while he was fishing 120 miles out of Newport, catching, they had 250 fish tuna on board, continuing to catch. And as they were catching, he noticed that when he opened the part where they catch fish, there was more water in there than they should have. So he got out pumps. He realized that they were sinking. So he got out the pumps and put two pumps in the bilge or whatever you call it. Some of you are fishermen. I'm not going to call all these things right, okay? And so they started pumping it. Instead, kept up it for a while, but the waves started crashing and the waters got rough and so the pumps weren't keeping up with the water, and it was he and his 13-year-old son and the captain on board, and the captain was on the phone, but not with the Coast Guard, and he was like trying to make everything go and work, and it wasn't working, and the ship was sinking, or the boat was sinking. It was called the Wild Mary, and the storm got worse, waves got more ferocious, and the captain decided to try to make it to Newport, full throttle, but with so much water in the bottom of the boat, it wasn't going very fast. And so finally, this young man went up into the upper deck where the phone was. He grabbed the phone from the captain, and with determination, with zeal, with everything he had, he called the Coast Guard and let them know their coordinates and said, we need help. We're going down. Told them the latitude, longitude, we're going down. We need help. And so he then put out the life raft. He and his son got in the life raft, had to swim out to it after it was in the water, and got in the life raft. And after they heard the captain coughing, they went and found him, pulled him in the life raft. And then here comes the Coast Guard. And he said it was just like you see in the movies. This fella descends out of the helicopter with 8-foot fins on and scuba gear, all ready to go do a water rescue. And said they let down the cable, and then they hooked the cable to each person and took them up to the helicopter, and they were rescued. Amazing story. Amazing story. The Coast Guard was his savior. The Coast Guard was his son's savior. The Coast Guard was the captain's savior. But do you know that he would never have been saved if he hadn't called the Coast Guard? Right? He had been sunk. He'd be down in the bottom of the ocean. He called the Coast Guard, and they saved him. That's just, a lot of people, they never call on the one who can save them. Jesus is called the Savior. Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sin. And we need to let him know our coordinates. We need to let him know that we're sin sick. We're enslaved to sin. And in desperation, we call out to him. Desperation, we call out to him. A lot of times, myself, others grow up in church and grow up, and we kind of understand about Christianity. We begin to understand about Jesus and his saving power, and we began to understand our sinfulness, and we kind of move into it. We confess our sins, receive Christ as our Savior, because it's just kind of like the next step in our spiritual life. But there are those others who are so sin-bound, they need a desperate cry to the Lord. They need to let him know, I'm tired of the sin I'm living in, and I want you above everything else. There's this desperation cry that needs to come from us when we're in a place that we cannot get out of ourselves. And a lot of you've tried getting out yourself. And I guarantee you, you'll never get out unless you call on Jesus to be your Savior. He wants to be your Savior. That's the reason he came, is so he could save you. The angel proclaimed this to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day. In those days, shepherds were not considered among the elite of society. Rather, they were among the lower class in the culture. Due to the nature of their work, of course, they had to work on Sabbath. Due to the nature of their work, they were not able to participate in religious festivities and religious life that the rest of the Jews did. And so they were looked down upon as people who were not very religious, who did not have a lot of spirituality, who didn't have it all together. They were poor. They were outcasts. They were overlooked by society. But God didn't overlook them. He didn't see them as less important. He rather chose them to receive the first announcement of the arrival of the Messiah. He tells them, for you is this child come. For you is this child born. How do you think you made them feel? For you. Did you know that Jesus came for Mary's dad too? And Joseph's dad? Jesus' brothers and sisters. Did you know that Jesus came for the, did you know that Jesus came for Mary? Jesus came for Mary as well, because everyone needs a Savior. He not only came for the shepherds, he not only came for everyone in Jerusalem, but for you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For you. Turn to your neighbor and say, for you, Jesus was born. Everyone needs a Savior. Everyone. Everyone needs to be forgiven of their sin, because everyone has sin. I was visiting with that fella that almost lost his life. He said, how can I know I have eternal life? And so I shared with him what Jesus had done for him. That he needed to ask God to forgive him of his sins. That he needed to put his trust in Jesus Christ. Call out to him. And I was able to lead him in a prayer of salvation. Jesus can do the same for you. You need a Savior. If you don't already know him, you need a Savior. If you are entangled in sin, God can. Is detangle a word? It can detangle you. Okay? It is now. He can get you out of your mess, but you have to come to him with your mess. And he loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Jesus came for you. If you were to picture yourself 2,000 years ago, on the hillsides of Jerusalem, keeping sheep, an angel descending, he would say to you, this child is born for you. This child is born for you. Would you receive that? Would you receive Jesus not as a child, not as a baby in a cradle or in a manger, but as someone who had died for you, someone who took your sin upon himself, someone who is willing to give you his life and his righteousness for your life and your sinfulness? Would you do that? We're going to have a time of invitation. And if you're here this morning without Christ, all you have to do is say, God, I'm a sinner, and I need you, and I'm putting my trust in Jesus to bring, so that you can bring life and light to my life. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful plan that you've given us. Lord, it's an awesome plan. It's a marvelous plan. If Satan had known what he was doing, he would have never had Jesus crucified. But Lord, that is our hope. That is our life. When he rose again from the tomb, nothing could keep him in. And so, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your plan. Thank you for the child Jesus, the adult, and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. You are King. You are Lord. You are God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. Mm-hmm.
the glory.
We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. Christ the Lord.
Go ahead, we'll do this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message today and the play that was given that gave us a different perspective on how to see Christmas.
Yes.
How our families are affected. Don't listen to the word of God when we allow you to speak. Thank you for passing this message on.
Yes.
Let's all look at things a little bit different this year. Salvation, but for
yeah. Amen. The Lord bless thee.
Bless thee.
Keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up.
The Lord lift up. His countenance
on thee and give thee peace. Merry Christmas, y'all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.